This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, folks, it's 4:33. We'll go ahead and call this meeting of the University Assembly to order. And we will jump right into the roll call. And Beth is going to do that first, and we'll get started.
Here.
Valerie Amer?
Here.
Marcy Benda? Here. Richard Benzel?
Here.
Doug Katie?
Here.
Nicola Dennis?
Excuse.
Keith Carissa? Jacob Byatt?
Excuse.
Ben Portenberry?
Here.
Tom Fox?
Here.
Preston Hanley?
Here.
David Heiner?
Here.
Deborah Howell?
Here.
Caroline Levine? Manaya Lewis? Annalie Nunez? James Richards?
Here.
Damien Sharp?
Here.
Jessica Withers?
Here.
That's 4 and 16.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Good luck on your prelim evening. Okay. We will now do our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagono, the Gayagono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with an historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayagono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayagono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Just to make note, Eve DeRosa is now present and will be noted as attending for this evening. We will now call for any late additions to the agenda. Seeing none, we'll move on to the approval of the meeting minutes from April 12th, which are attached to the agenda. And we're going to obtain a motion for the adjustments or a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Richard has a motion to approve. Do we have a second? Seconded by Thomas. Is there any objection to the approval of the meeting minutes of April 12th? Seeing none, the meeting minutes are approved. All right, we'll now move into our open forum. First one will be myself talking a little bit about our internal elections and organizational meeting. Just a reminder to all of our leaders of constituent groups that we will be having on May 10th our election process to usher in the new members from each of the groups, as well as elect our leadership, our executive committees, and our chairs for the position. I do want to acknowledge that I will not be returning as in the University Assembly. I've decided to step down from my role in the Employee Assembly. If anybody is interested in running for the role of president and has questions about what it pertains and any insight in the role, I'm happy to do that here in the public forum, as well as if you'd like to meet one-on-one, I'm happy to meet the folks to talk a little bit about that. But just to note for folks, for the May 10th meeting, we will be having this group of folks here that will be joining us, and we'll have a probably most likely a fairly brief meeting, in which case will be followed by an executive session to make the vote in the new members of the committees and the chairs and everything of that nature. So if you are in a constituent group, please make sure that those members who are joining us for the next session are present for the May 10th meeting. So this is both May 10th meeting is everyone who is current members of the University Assembly, as well as those who have been voted in from your constituent groups to join for next year's session, because that's their opportunity to run for positions as well as committee chairs and join and learning a little bit about each of the committees. So it's important that they be present for that so that we can get all the work done. For those of you who have been on the UA for a little while, recall we We've gone, I think, all the way into July with these in the past. I'm hopeful that we don't have to do anything of that nature this year. So I'd love for us to be able on May 10th to go ahead and get everything settled for all of our next year assembly members. I'll pause and ask if there are any questions about that process and what it might entail, or just in general. Yes, Duncan.
Well, this isn't really a question for you. I would think maybe for you, Gina, but also for Autumn. I guess she's not here, though. The student assembly traditionally selects its two student assembly representatives, the position I have and that Manaya would have, in the fall. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if there's like procedure with this, how we feel about that. Because at that time, there would only then be the SA president and then the two university assembly representatives, which I don't know if there's a second person running for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. Yeah. It's also both like contested.
Yeah, so only three of the student seats would be set at that time,
okay,
to my knowledge.
So over the summer, the provisions are typical that it's just the UA exec that is sort of, you know, delegated with anything that needs attention. They would do that, and then you would just, that they just see that other members would call.
So those members just wouldn't be involved in that process.
Okay. Thank you. Good question. I appreciate it. Other questions? I have been working with Gina to get a very clear outline of how that organizational meeting will occur, because I know for myself, it was kind of, I took the chair on and it was kind of like, okay, now what do I do? So I'm going to have a clear outline for whomever does get the chair role. So I would preside over the first election, which is the chair. And then from that moment on, whomever is elected the new chair would take on the rest of the process, but I'll be there with them and answer questions, as well as Gina, to help out with any procedural questions. But I'm going to have a clear sort of outline so folks can understand what they would be doing, what needs to happen in that meeting. Any other questions for folks? So, again, just a reminder for everyone in the groups to make sure that you have your elections set and ready. If you feel like you're not going to have those filled by that time, please let me know if there's something that we can do to assist. But again, I'm hopeful that, I know it's the day before slow day, but let's hope everybody's here and we can get things done. Do you have a question, Richard?
So when is the meeting in which the elections take place?
That will be on May 10th. So we'll have a normal session that will then adjourn, and we would then go into the organizational meeting. All right. So, yeah, so everybody knows it's the day before slope day, but if you can have everybody here for that May 10th meeting to join and get things buttoned up so we don't have to come back to another special session down the road, it's greatly appreciated. Other questions? I will turn the floor over to Deborah Howe. Deborah Howe, who talked about mental health care problems in
state. Hi, thank you. Actually, I don't have any updates on this. I updated last session on this and the other two under the welfare committee, and they've been tabled till the fall.
Thank you very much, Deborah. So now we'll move to business of the day, which is the one item there, the presidential response to UA Resolution 6. Alterations to the Codes and Judicial Committee name and function. I did send this out to everybody, the response, and to basically say it, the resolution has been rejected by the president. President provided some framework from which she was looking at and why it was rejected. So I would welcome some conversation and dialogue around reactions to that, and I will just state, I don't think we can solve for this today. And I think it's most likely something that would fall back to the committee to rework and work on, but I would definitely love to hear folks' thoughts on that response.
The response is included here, correct?
Yes, the response is included in the meeting. Give folks a moment to take a look at that if they haven't had a chance. And one thing to acknowledge is that at the last meeting, when the resolution was passed, it was acknowledged that the charter is out of date as well, that it refers to items that are not in line with the current code of conduct. And one, there's a couple of ways in which we can approach this. We can go back to the drawing board and really rework, perhaps starting with the charter and working our way towards this resolution in a different framework to be able to better have it line up with each other, is because that's really important, the charter and the bylaws do connect. We also have the opportunity to simply provide a response back to the president. At this point, this resolution has lived its life. There's not like a resurrection that can happen with the resolution. So, but that doesn't mean preclude us from providing a written response in regard to the resolution. And we can, again, you could just go back to the resolution. I would advocate or consider that we look at the charter prior to just going back to this resolution and reworking it. But again, I would love to hear folks' perspectives, and I know James is here joining us. We'd like to hear from folks on what their thoughts are on the next steps for UA. Go ahead, James.
Yeah. So as far as the resolution goes, I think I'm going to try to convene the, I guess it would be back to the CJC, it's called again, one more time before the end of the year, just to kind of discuss the framework we're going to put in place for next year. But yeah, I'd love to hear people's thoughts on President Pollock's response just before I give my own, because I don't want to lead the discussion like that. But yeah.
Thank you, James.
Go ahead, Richard. Yeah. Well, after reading the response, and given how late in the year we are, I don't think it's possible for us, and agree with Brandon, to resolve or in a deliberative way to adjust the differences or even to understand some of the differences. So what I would do, I would move that we refer to the president's response to the committee, and probably this would be the first item of business. We can't tell the committee what to do, but the first item of business that the committee in the fall would take up. I think it does need to be considered carefully. I agree with Brandon. I think going back and looking at the charter carefully and the bylaws is the right thing to do. So that would be my... There's a second. I would just move that the response be referred to the committee.
So Richard has made a motion to move this response to the committee to continue work on that. Do I have a second for that motion?
This is, I guess, a point of personal privilege. Are there any, like, I mean, I agree with that. I don't know what any alternative would be at this point, because if the resolution's dead, then the resolution's dead. But I don't know if James has thoughts towards that or someone else does. Because I would second that. I was curious what else there is out there. Yeah.
Thanks, Duncan. James, what's your response?
Obviously, it's too late in here for us to do anything substantive in response. So I don't think there is any alternative, really. But I would like to urge President Pollock to indicate which, she said that basically our resolution was inconsistent with the resolution passed to adopt the student code of conduct, and I was wondering what specifically was inconsistent, because she uses the word review. It's she says that it's not appropriate for our committee to have a review function, and we specifically never used the word review because that has judicial implications, which we obviously are not giving ourselves. It was simply a resolution to have kind of a public publicity function in case there were any students who felt that the values of the code weren't applied fairly to the students and the faculty, or vice versa. So I don't think it was anything necessarily that even implicates the student code of conduct or the resolution adopting it in the first place. But now that it's been rejected, I guess there's nothing else we could do, but it just seems heavy-handed and kind of non-specific. The response itself seemed a little bit non-specific, considering that it was, you know, the result of several months of work and discussion between our committee and the University Assembly itself.
Thank you, James. Any other thoughts or perspectives there? Did you say you wanted to second the motion to send to the committee?
Yeah, I agree with both those points. I'll second it.
So we have a second for the motion to move it to the committee. We'll go ahead and vote on this just to make it formal there for comfortable with that. All those in favor of sending back to the CJC, you can raise your virtual hands or your placards. Okay, we have 14 in favor. All those opposed? Extensions. So we have 14 in favor, none against, and one abstention. That the motion passes to send that back to the committee. Again, thanking James and the CJC for the work they've done. I definitely appreciate you thinking to get them back together before the end of the session to set up a framework for the next group to understand how we might go about approaching that. So thank you very much, everyone. All right, with that, we'll move into our assembly reports, and I see Annalie has joined us, so I will recommend Annalie for the student assembly report.
Hi, everyone. I'm so sorry. I'm like in between meetings today, but I have a quick report, nothing too crazy with the student assembly right now. We had convocation committee come to speak to us to announce our convocation speaker, which I believe we were all excited about. This year it's going to be Constance Wu, and we had a representative come to speak about that. We also had representatives from the Big Red Food Drive come to speak to us. We have Cornell Hunger Relief. Cornell Hunger Relief came to speak to us about the Big Red Food Drive, which is happening for the first time this semester since the start of the pandemic. So they were just urging us to get student representatives to go do that work and help support and donate to their cause. And then finally, we passed a resolution in support of the teach-in that Richard Benzel is leading. So the Student Assembly is going to be a official sponsor of that resolution and that teach-in.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Alan? All right. Okay, for the DPSA.
Yeah, so we had a very busy meeting last night. We're gearing up for the grad ball. We sold over 500 tickets, completely sold out. So we're super excited about that. That's on Saturday night. We also had a presentation from Jen at the Big Red Barn talking about different ways that the GPSA might be able to help fund some new initiatives over there, which kind of corresponds with a resolution that allows the GPSA to draw down from our reserve fund to kind of do different things around campus. That was just kind of a specific suggestion, sending money to the Big Red Barn. And then we had some amendments to the election procedures to kind of make them more similar to some of the other assemblies, specifically the student assembly. And I think that's about it. Yeah, we're super busy coming down to the wire. So a lot to do.
My question for you, Preston, is where is the grad ball this year?
Stage. Yeah, from the stage atrium.
Very nice. It sold out pretty quick.
It did, yeah. Yeah. We even have members who didn't get tickets. Wow. they didn't know. they didn't get them right away.
Oh, very good. Well, sounds great. Any other questions for Preston? Thank you, Preston. Good luck with the event, and I'll turn it over to Jess Wittes for the employee assembly.
Hi. So we had We passed EA Resolution 3, Enhancements to the Cornell University Onboarding Process, and I've sent that off to the president for response. At our last meeting, we also had a presentation from Dan Moss, Associate Director of the Office of Emergency Management, and Dave Honan, the Associate Vice President for Public Safety, and our new Police Chief, Anthony, and I'm losing his last name, but he also, Anthony Bellamy, he also joined us. They gave a presentation about what exactly the Office of Assembly does, or sorry, the Office of Emergency Management, what they do, what sort of emergencies they cover, how they communicate, and they specifically talked about the two incidents in November and some takeaways after as they reassessed afterward. So it was a really great presentation. I know Deborah and I both work in the library, and we're working to have the same sort of presentation brought to library staff. They're very willing to do that. So if anyone's interested, I encourage you to reach out to them or contact me and I'll put you in touch. A couple other things are that since we stayed as a virtual meetings all year, executive committee's working on an end of term celebration mixer type thing, just because so many people miss being in person. And it's been a long year, so we thought that was a good thing to plan. And we're also working on the farewell forum for Mary Opperman. That'll be in June, though, after our term, so we'll be coordinating with the next exec committee.
Thank you very much, Jessica. Any questions for Jessica? Yes, Eve.
Hi, Jessica. Did they speak specifically about the public safety? I forget the title of that new enterprise that they have. Did they talk about that at all?
They did not, to my recollection. They really focused on the office or the Office of Emergency Management and then the incidents in November. And honestly, they took longer than we had asked them to, but I let them go because it was incredibly informative, and I wish we could have given them an entire hour and a quarter, but it doesn't work that way. So yeah, we didn't. It'd be great to have them back maybe next term with some more info.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Jessica? Seeing none, Eve, I'll turn it over to you for the Faculty Senate.
Okay, since everyone's talking about parties, the Faculty Senate are also going to have a reception after their final assembly meeting. And we'll open it up to all faculty. So hopefully people will come and join in on May 4th. So we did have a Senate meeting on April 20th. And we had three main topics. One was a resolution from the University Faculty Committee showing support for the premise of this part-time bachelor's degree program for non-traditional students, but with the caveat that the provost should consider all the feedback from faculty on sort of the implementation if he does move forward with this, and then also to include faculty and the approval of the Faculty Senate in the selection of the dean for the School of Continuing Education and for the sort of implementation of the program if it does move forward. And so this discussion will come back to the Senate for our final meeting. We had Vice Provost of Undergraduate Education, Lisa Nishi, come back to the Senate for a discussion of her proposal from her office, thinking about how to revise the honors and distinctions across the university and how to make them systemically equal across the colleges. And so that is still in discussion, and they will come back to the UFC for further discussion and hopefully back to the Senate. And then we also discussed a senator-sponsored resolution asking to increase the transparency and effectiveness of the Faculty Senate proceedings. And that also yielded a good discussion, and that should come back to the Senate. And then I gave an update on research, teaching, and extension faculty, their status, and the benefits associated with the status, with emeritus and emerita status, and also what updates we're making in terms of the task force that we have to think through climate issues and professional development issues and titles for promotion. And so that's everything we did.
Questions for Eve?
Okay. Hi, Eve. I'd love to hear what came back around the discussions around the honor system. And I know there's a lot of talk about the dean's list and initially about what graduating honors would look like. I'm just curious if there's any updates based on those conversations that you can share at this time.
So I'm turning my camera off because my internet's actually less stable than I thought. So the honors and distinctions, the faculty seem to have very strong opinions about the status of scholarship dependent honors. So like if you do an honors research thesis or literature review, that's that form of honors, there's concern that it's been sort of diminished with them trying to come with this more GPA based honor. So there's a lot of faculty feedback about that and pushback about that. And faculty are concerned that making it GPA based might provoke more anxiety and grade anxiety and mental health issues for undergraduates. And there is less concern now about removing the dean's list when we see that majority of our peer institutions are no longer using dean's list, so it's not like it's a standard that's required to get internships or positions elsewhere. So that's sort of where we are right now. And I believe the vice provost of undergraduate education is amenable to movement on the scholarship-based honors, but less so on the GPA-based honors.
Thank you, Eve. I'm sure I'm going to have more questions as this continues to evolve. And again, I really hope you can get a chance to come to the student assembly and invite any other faculty or administrative representative interested in talking about this, because I think a lot of students are really curious.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Eve, I have a question as far as the dean for the School of Continuing Education. Where are they at in the process of that?
So I know that they have convened a search committee to replace, so they have an retiring dean at the moment, and so they have a search committee. I don't think that they've had their first meeting yet, so I don't think there's been very much progress on that at all. Just a name, and I'm not sure if the whole committee is even named yet.
Thank you. Any other questions for you? All right, we'll turn to committee report. Executive committee met primarily to talk a little bit about the agenda for today and the UAR 6 response. No major updates there. James has left from the CJC. I don't know if anybody has any updates from that group. How about from the Campus Welfare Committee, Deborah? Deborah, are you able to? Deborah, I was just checking if you have any updates from the Campus Welfare Committee.
I don't have any. We're just writing the report for next year's chair.
Great. Thank you very much. Now to Ian, who looks to be in a warm but windy place there. For the CIT.
Just one brief update. Last meeting I indicated there might be another resolution coming out about material salvage and deconstruction and the university's policies towards it. That will be a matter for the assembly next year. Want to take a little bit more time to get the wording just right.
Yeah, where are you hanging out tonight?
I'm in Maui at the moment, actually, for a wedding.
Oh, wow. Well, I appreciate you tuning in from Maui. That's great. All right. Any other updates or questions for Ian? Any liaison reports?
I have two liaison reports from CPC and Carbon Neutral Campus.
Go right ahead.
So the biggest thing from CPC is that the Kubo construction is set to start soon in a matter of weeks. There will pretty soon be a large drill erected at the borehole site, which will be about as tall as McGraw Tower. So look forward to seeing that, everyone.
Very cool. I have a question. Yes, Richard.
So, Ian, I saw on the sun that Senator Schumer came to celebrate something about the borehole. Does that mean more money?
I'm not sure if that specifically means any more money, but hopefully that might mean a little bit more visibility about a challenge Cornell's going to be facing with some New York legislation that I'll be talking about as soon as we ship over to Carbon Neutral Campus.
Thank you, Ian. Why don't you shift right into your next segment there?
Thanks. So the biggest takeaway from the last Carbon Neutral Campus meeting is that Cornell is going to be in the thorns of a dilemma soon. Because for those of you who might be familiar with the New York State law, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which was passed in 2019, you know, calls for scoping about how to gradually transition the New York electric grid to a green electric grid and eventually achieve carbon neutrality by around 2050. Cornell, as many of you are aware, produces its own power. We have a large physical electrical plant and is also trying to transition to its own carbon neutral status by 2035. The issue is that if Cornell complies with the scoping proposed by the CLCPA, which calls for the, which would essentially preclude Cornell from using its existing legacy plant infrastructure, Cornell will probably not be able to get all of its carbon neutral power needs supplied by New York State. So there's going to be an emerging challenge in the next couple of years whether or not Cornell complies with the scoping requirements of the New York law or complies with its own carbon neutral goals, which purport to be carbon neutral by 2035, but still rely on using Cornell's legacy plant for a while longer while that transition occurs. So this is ultimately going to be a discussion that Cornell's lawyers probably have to have with New York State and either possibly secure an exemption or alter its 2035 goals going forward. So very theoretical discussion, still early stages, but going to be an interesting challenge for the university in the next couple of years.
Any questions for Ian? Sounds like an interesting challenge for as you said, the lawyers. Hopefully he can work that piece out. But thank you very much, and I'm excited to hear about the Kubo activity starting soon. I'll have to drive by and see the giant drill. That sounds awesome. Any other reports? I think that's pretty much everyone. Wow, we don't have a presentation. We kind of work through these things pretty quick. Well, I would welcome any open conversation or dialogue. Don't feel obligated to adjourn. As I mentioned, we have next week's meetings. The next meeting will be pretty mild as far as content, and the majority of it will be the organizational meeting.
2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks, yes. Thank you.
I guess we could show up in a week.
Show up in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Any motions or comments, questions?
Motion to adjourn.
Richard has motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any objections? Seeing none, meeting adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.